Good morning, church. Welcome to our online service. Welcome to Koinonia Church. If this is your first time, I want to give you a big welcome. You can go to mykc.ca to learn more about us. We're going to show you a connect card that you can fill up at the end of the service, and you can fill in information there to get to know more about us, to contact with the pastor, or get some prayer for you. Today, before we begin, I want to share with you a thought that I've been having, right? And I'm sure you have been feeling this. You know, you have been worshiping for a couple of months now at home. And I thought, you know, this is probably going to go on for a little bit more. And I thought, hey, why don't we use this time? Why don't we use this time as a time of learning in worship, as a time of growth in worship, as a time of, you know, training. And the thought here is this, right? Because, you know, we're at home and you only have a few family members with you. So there's not much pressure, right? There's not much pressure in terms of, you know, a big crowd watching, or maybe you won't feel as intimidated. So why don't you try to grow, try to engage and you know, sing and participate as much as you can in worship. And so if you haven't been singing in worship, I want to invite you to try. I want to encourage you to try. Sing out loud. But today I want to give you one very specific, I don't want to say assignment, but maybe a challenge, maybe an encouragement. It has to do with your posture, you know, how your physical body reacts. And because, and you know this, when you're talking to somebody, the posture reflects a person's attitude. The posture of a person reflects a person's attitude. So when you're doing this, when you're hugging a pillow and you're just sort of doing this in worship, or maybe you have a blanket, you know, that sort of conveys an attitude, right? But I want to also tell you one thing. The posture not only reflects a person's attitude, but it also affects a person's attitude. So you can change your attitude by changing your posture. So if you still have this pillow, if you're still hugging this pillow at this moment in time, or you're still having a blanket, or you're still sort of leaning on the couch, what I'm going to ask you to do is to put that aside. You know, get some space for yourself and try to engage with your posture. Let your posture affect your attitude about worship. And today, I want to ask you to try this. Try two hands up. Try hands up. Because the hands up is a posture that tells your heart, hey, this is serious business. You know, God is not something to be messed with. God is an amazing God. God is an honorable God. God is worthy. So this posture, hands up like this, tells God, God, you're deserving of all the praise. Jesus Christ, your name is above every name. So that's the posture. That's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Put the pillow away, put your hands up. And if this is maybe too big of a step, I'll give you a half a step. Half a step is this. Same posture, same meaning. It's going to tell Jesus that, hey, Jesus, you know, this is my heart's attitude to you. You are worthy of all praise. So I'm going to invite you to try that in a second. In a second, we're going to have a couple of worship songs that really lift up the name of Jesus, really focus on bringing praise to Jesus. And my encouragement to you is to try to let your posture speak to your heart. Let your posture not only reflect your attitude, but affect the attitude so that you can give Jesus praise and worship. Why don't we start off with a prayer and let's try that. God, we want to ask you to help us to worship you. We want to ask your spirit to speak to us and to speak to our emotions and speak to our mind and speak to our bodies so that we can better in line, better be in tune with who you are. And God, I pray that you will remove any barriers, any thoughts, any things that might be blocking us into entering into worship of you. God, let us experience you, let us encounter you. Here we are. Enter into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us rise to worship. Wonderful to me. Here I am.
altogether wonderful to me.
Jesus Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The veils are before you. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against.
Your name is above every name. Your name is above every name. That means you're at the highest place. Highest place. Jesus, you own the highest place. And not only in the universe, but also in our lives. You own the highest place. The highest place of honor and desire and devotion and adoration. You own the highest place. Because you are what we're made for. You are who we're made for. In church, I know a lot of times we don't give Jesus that highest place, and me included. There's so many things that gets in the way. Maybe it's our family, our finances. Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's our education. Maybe it's our pride, our ego. There's so many things that crowd for that highest place. And church, I know. There's so many things that crowd at one time in that place. So I want to give you some time. As we sing this next song, I want to invite you into the act of removing an idol, so to speak. Removing what is at the highest place, what you have mistakenly placed at the highest place. I want to invite you to use that next song to remove that idol and to put Jesus back at his highest place. Let's do that with the next song.
Christ be man.
up together.
Singing, oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Yes, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry, oh, then in one enraptured hymn of praise we'll sing, Christ be magnified. Oh, oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me.
Yes, Jesus, have the highest place. Have the highest place.
I'll stand strong and worship you, and if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, oh, my heart will still be singing, and our song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me. And it's singing, oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me.
God, I pray, we pray. We pray for an undivided devotion to you. An undivided devotion, like a bride to the groom. That devotion is focused. It's singular. It's passionate. And it's sacrificial. And it's a devotion that goes all out. Because Jesus, that's what you've done for us. You went all out for us when you gave it all on the cross. So Jesus, we pray that you'll give us that same devotion back to you. You'll help us to live that same devotion back to you, so that we can say, To live is for you is Christ. And to die is even better, because we get to see you and we get to be with you. And so God, we pray for this undivided devotion for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
What pandemic has brought to us is a shockwave to our otherwise ordinary life. Our lives are suddenly interrupted. Our plans are put on hold. So like graduation ceremony, cancelled. Cherry Blossom Festival, music festival, all sorts of festivals, cancelled. Classes in school, cancelled. And have you ever imagined that Sunday service actually can get cancelled too? So in March, we thought this is just temporary. We thought things will finally get back to normal. Some assume we only need to bear with this a little bit longer. Just sit and wait, then chill, then life will resume once again to what like before. So we are in June now. Things didn't resume to what it was. Actually, some say that we are not going back to the normal. Instead, we are going to enter into the new normal. Actually, it is already happening if you pay attention. Let's say, who might have imagined that you will need to line up for grocery? If I have asked you in January, you would probably thought I was out of my mind. But now when I actually planned my trip for grocery shopping, I will have this time frame included, which is the time I need to line up to get into the shop. So who might have imagined us as a pastor would need to do all sorts of video filming, editing, etc.? If I have asked my staff team in January, they probably would have told me not to be bothered with this. Just leave it to our media staff. But now, the whole team, we are all doing this. The other day, I just joked with my husband that I sometimes feel like I am a YouTuber now instead of a pastor. So shooting, filming, editing are part of our lives. The world changed because of the pandemic. Probably the pandemic will change this world forever. And the pandemic brings us to this critical moment in church for every one of us who Jesus calls to follow Him. In this new world filled with uncertainty, and what church roles is like in this new world and for our community as well? What is church at this moment? Do we just sit and wait till the storm passed? Are we just trying to not rock the boat and try to maintain the status quo? Or that's actually something we need to learn together. That's something we need to change together. That is time for us to venture into the unknown. It's time for us to start imagining how church can become in this new world. How can church respond to Christ's calling under this new normal? This whole situation reminded me of the early church. At that time, none of the apostles had any experience with pastoring a church. They didn't have a degree in organizational leadership, per se. They didn't have a degree in theology or have been taught how to preach. And none of them even have attended a so-called church in their whole life. So on top of their inexperience, they now venture into an uncertain period of time and a world full of hostility against them. People at that time thought they were crazy. Some thought they were heresy. The most deadly one was from the people in power. They thought the early church was actually a threat to their power and to their positions. So how did the apostle and early Christians follow Jesus' teaching under all this hostility? Would it be better if they just put their faith on hold and waited till things get better? So the history told us they did the exact opposite.
they venture into this world full of hostility in the direction Jesus called them to. They spread the gospel of Jesus, they healed the sick, they liberated the chained, they helped those in need, and took care of widows and orphans. One of these examples was Philippians Church. In his letter to Philippians Church, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." Paul said the church has always obeyed. Obey what? Obey the teaching Paul said in a few verses earlier. He said, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joys of being of the same mind, have the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus." So this was what Paul taught the church to do. In short, Paul asked the church to follow Jesus' footsteps. And Paul's feedback to the Philippians church was, "You are doing great." In fact, Philippians was one of the few church who provided Paul for Paul's financial needs. So then the question comes, why did Paul need to tell the church to be obedient? Why did Paul say, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and tremblings"? Wasn't they following Jesus already? To answer these questions, we have to understand Philippians church was actually living in a very difficult time. Paul described this period of time as the crooked and treated generation. Philippians church was living in the midst of the crooked and twisted generations. It's a time when people were against God. The value and belief common in the society were distorted. People used every means to satisfy their own desire and lust. So there were no compassions, no grace in this world. Your life was only as important as how much you can be used. You can imagine the world was dark. The world offered no hope to the people. So almost everything in the world whole was the opposite of what the kingdom of God means. And it's in this environment the early church had to stand up for their faith, to be perseverance in their belief. So it was a tough time for them. And at that time, people might attack you because you were a Christian, you were a Christ follower. People might refuse to do trade with you because you insisted on doing trade fairly or resisted to attend their social gathering. So people might marginalize you because you stand up for the weak and sick. Paul knew this. Paul knew the church was under attack. Paul knew at a time like this, Christ's follower needed to know their directions. So Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence." Philippian church was a church close to Paul's heart. He knew the church had stayed faithful. Yet it is a testing time. Paul was himself now being imprisoned and could not be with the church. So it could be seen as a threat to the church. People might start to have questions. They might worry about their own safety. It was in this situation Paul reminded the church, "You have been faithful in the past. You have been faithful in my presence. So I encourage you to stay faithful and obey Christ's leading, even in my absence." So I encourage you to stay faithful and obey Christ now and in the future, despite all the threats and pressures against you. It's just like back in March. when the big social gathering became concerned, when we heard virus spread during mass gathering, conference, and religious service, and some of us started to feel worried if it's still safe to go to church on Sunday. And then we stopped having this physical Sunday service and turned everything online. If Sunday service was all you did in following Jesus, it might give you a false perception that you can take a break in following Jesus. Life can move on without Jesus. Yet Paul warned the church to be mindful about this thought. The truth is the exact opposite. When the time is dark, when it's becoming challenging, it becomes more important for you to hold on to the most essential thing in life. And for Paul, this is our salvation. That's the reason why he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." He didn't mean that you had to do something extra, some like certain thing to secure salvation. We are all saved by grace. But however, in order to be saved, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You have to recognize Jesus as your Lord. And when the time is dark, it's even more important for us to take a careful look into our life. Do we really take our relationship with Christ seriously? Have I been following Jesus? How can I mature and have an even stronger relationship with Christ? If it ever come across your mind that because church has stopped gathering physically, because church doesn't need me to serve, I can now take a break in serving God. Because we won't be able to meet each other in person, I can take a break in caring for others. If gathering, serving, and connecting can take a break, so I may just as well take a break with my small group, with my devotion, with my prayer. Let's take a break in following Jesus, since this is a tough time. Paul wanted to tell Philippian church and us at this time, it's just the opposite. This time, tough time, isn't a time for a break. Tough time is a time for you to be even more dedicated in following Jesus. You have to be sure your life is tightly connected, intertwined with Jesus. You have to be sure you are holding fast to Jesus' teaching. You have to be sure your life is being shaped by Christ and maturing. You have to be sure your life, you actually live out your belief, because this is the only way that you won't be taken away by the world. This is the only way you won't wander off and follow the distorted value of the darkness in the world. So therefore, for Paul, obedience isn't just following a set of rules. Obedience is life-shaping. Obedience is life-giving. Obedience is an active following of Christ. Obedience is an active following that knows no limits. It doesn't matter if it is in the past, in the present, or the future. It doesn't matter if it is in easy time or tough time. It doesn't matter if he is free or imprisoned. Paul still obeys and follows. Paul still obeys and follows his Lord. Nothing can stop Paul from obeying the Lord. Nothing can stop his obedience. Because for him, obedience is an active following that knows no limit. Yes, I know it isn't easy. Sometimes I wondered myself too, like if I were at that time, would I have the same courage to stand up for my faith and act differently than the rest of the world? But the good news is here. The good news is we are not alone in this. Not just because we have each other, we are in this together. But the most amazing truth is God is with us in this. God is for us in this too. If you feel that one day you feel compelled to follow Jesus, if you feel a burning desire, you want to do something in Jesus' way, it's because the Holy Spirit is with you now, is working in you. It's what Paul said, for it is God who work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasures. Paul points out that it's God who work in us and put this desire in us that make us want to follow Christ. Not out of fear, but out of God's good pleasures. Through the Holy Spirit, we come to trust that God has a good plan in everything. Through the Holy Spirit, our hearts are pumped. We are pumped up so that we want to follow and want to witness the consummation of His plan. So let's remember the time, the one day when you see, let's say, imagine you see someone on the street that need help. Suddenly there's a feeling in your heart that's like a burning sensation in your heart that you feel that you can't just walk away like that. You can't turn a blind eye. You feel that you need to do something. You need to do something about the situations. Then this is one of the examples. This is one of the examples how the Holy Spirit can pump us up to move us in the directions of Jesus and become a blessing for others. And not just the desire, but God actually grant us the ability so that we can work for this good plan. We have the strength, we have the courage, and now God even give us the ability to follow Jesus, because this is the plan of God. This is the good news of God. He is a God that who enable us. He is a God who empower us. He grant us the will and the ability to follow Him, to follow His step, to follow His calling. So again, even if it is a tough time, God is with us in this. He's willing to show us His good intention. He gives us the desire to follow Him in the bad days. He gives us the ability to add on this desire. So everyone who has Jesus in their heart will have the desire and the ability to follow Christ. Now it comes to a critical point. It's come to a critical point that we have to decide. And Paul said, "Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus." It means us having this mind to yield to God's enabling and empowering. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to yield? In the time of Moses, when God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, where they have been tortured, they have been enslaved, the Israelites now need to respond to the same question after they were out of Egypt. Were they willing to yield to God's leading into the promised land despite the challenges ahead, despite the challenges from the wilderness? And the Israelites' answer was no. When they entered into the wilderness, they started to grumble. They actually, if you remember, they just passed the Red Sea. They have seen how God parted the sea. But now they started to grumble as if they have already forgotten the big save just happened a few hours ago. They grumbled about not having enough food. They grumbled about not having water. They grumbled about all these hostile situations as if they forgot God has saved them from the hand of Egyptians. As if they forgot God was leading them into Canaan, the promised land. So what we have here was a sense of mistrust towards God when they saw all these difficulties ahead of them. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul actually warned the Philippians against this mistrust. Difficulty, hostility, and dark. And the darkness in the world and the dark time make people easily feel frustrated and hopeless, just like the Israelite in the wilderness. Same as COVID-19. Some see COVID-19 as if it is a wilderness in our time. So our visions can be clouded by the uncertainty and difficulty in front of us. We may forget God's goodness. We may forget God's promises. Then we start to grumble. grumbled about the cancellations of our convocations. That's so important to us that we work a lot towards it. We grumble that work become difficult. We grumble that we got nothing to do at home. We're just so bored. We can't get to see our friend. We can't do party or barbecue. We grumble not able to meet with our beloved families. We grumble not able to dine out and enjoy life and see the sunrise and sunset, so on and on. On. And Paul warned us, Christ followers, not to fall into this trap of grumbling. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. When Paul said, do all things without grumbling or disputing, he had in his mind Israelite grumbling against God. So he reminded us not to forget God's grace, salvation, and goodness. The wilderness we are in now will one day open up to the promised land. It will one day lead us into the promised land. It was like that in the Moses' time. It was like that for the early church. It will be like that for us one day. And all we need to do is trusting God, following God's leading, and learning to become more like Jesus. And it wasn't just a slogan for Paul. Paul actually lived it out. He showed us how it's like to be obedient. He showed us how he followed Christ and how Christ became the only focus in his life. Even when he was facing hostilities, betrayal, and imprisonment. And he, up to a point, he even said, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering up on the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Even if he was being sacrificed, if it was for the cause of Christ, he could be glad and rejoice. He rejoiced if his sacrifice enabled our faith. And this is Paul. He obeyed to the very end of his life. After his conversion, he used the rest of his life to follow Jesus and be mature in Christ. He stand up for his faith. He was willing and actually did die for his faith. So obedient. For Paul is an active following like that. It's an active following that knows no limits. Literally, nothing stopped Paul from following Jesus. He yielded to God's leading despite the situation and time. The question for us today is, will we yield to God's leading and venture out into this uncertainty? Or will we rather stay safe and wait for the storm to pass? COVID-19 presents us a rare opportunity to reflect on these questions. The world becomes so different after this, and many of the changes are here to stay. So how do we as a faith community choose at this crossroad? Will we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, adapt and grow in the new situation and venture into the unknown? Or will we stay behind the battlefield and wait till the world returns to our expected normal? And what if? What if the reality is it won't return to the expected normal? What should we do by then? If we listen to Paul's voice carefully today, we will hear a voice of encouragement. This is not time for break. This is a precious time for the world to see what church really means. We will hear Paul's voice saying, go venture into the unknown. Don't be afraid. God is with you today. Yes, we may not have a physical church or a physical Sunday worship for a while, but it exactly tells us that from now on, we are free from the geographical limits. We are free from the walls. Church can venture into the community. We can bring the good news into the world. And this is what the world in the wilderness need at this moment. That they need the voice that tell them there is hope. They need to hear the voice telling them there's a light at the end of this darkness. That's God's grace waiting for them and waiting for them to turn around and turn to God. So imagine if church no longer sit passively behind a wall, but every one of us serve God by turning the good news into actions. What will people see? Will they start to think that church is more relevant now? Will they start to think that church actually can be a participant in these communities and can work together to move the world into a better direction? This is what I hope people will recognize church as a helping hand in difficult times. I hope people will come to see a church as a place full of love and hope. I hope people will see church as the generous helper involved in these communities. So in May, we talk about generosities. We encourage brothers and sisters donate to the charity organization through the church. And yet, we hope our actions won't stop there. While we learn to be generous financially to our neighbors, we also learned to serve our neighbor, our community with our hands, with our actions. And last Sunday, Alex talked about serving God in COVID-19. Without physical gathering, we free up many servants from serving. And imagine if all this manpower used to run our Sunday service is now converted into manpower to serve our communities, or even more, if every one of us who are listening to this sermon, this message today, actually start to serve the communities, what will happen? What will actually happen to our world? In fact, many charity organizations are now looking for volunteers. We have Mission Possibles. They have a Tuesday breakfast that constantly need help to serve breakfast to those who need it. We have UGM who are looking for volunteers. And we have Richmond Care, Richmond Give, which is maybe organizations that are not as familiar for us, but they are organizations in Richmond that help the senior or family who in need to get grocery. So imagine if our brother and sister walk out of the wall of our church. Imagine if some of us start helping in different opportunities and seeing this as serving God. Imagine we no longer sit and wait, but we follow Paul's example to live out an active following that knows no limits. I'll get pretty excited to see what will happen in a few months, how we can become a blessing for our communities, for our neighbors, how people will come to see Jesus in a very different way, that they come to see Jesus as real, this faith as real and relevant. So let's not stop here. Let's encourage each other to obey the Lord and bring the good news into our communities. Let's join together and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your encouragement, your empowering, and your leading in our life. We know that this is not an easy time, but it is also an opportunity for every one of us to learn, to grow, and to venture out into the unknown to follow you. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit grant us the courage to follow your leadings. May the Holy Spirit help us to see those who in need, that need our helping hand, so that we can show the world, we can bring this good news into the world that Jesus is real and his church is real too. So may this gospel, this good news, this news of salvation, deliverance, redemptions be active, be real in the community once again. May us be the channel that your blessing can flow. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Church, let us rise to respond to our God this morning.
In Christ alone.
is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, the gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by dark slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of
in Christ alone. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. That means not on ourselves. Not on our riches, not on our abilities, not on the job, not on what we're good at, not on our desires, not on our strengths, not on anything that we have, but in Christ alone that we have found hope. In Christ alone we can find love. In Christ alone, we find our destiny. And in Christ alone, we find our being. And in Christ alone, most importantly, we find a right relationship with God. And what is there for us to boast then? What is there for us to boast? But we boast in Christ Jesus. We boast in the cross of Christ Jesus. We boast in his death and resurrection because of him, that we get to be in him. In Christ alone. Jesus, may you help us to always find ourselves in you. May you help us to position ourselves inside of you, so that we boast of nothing else. We boast of you only. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Now we're going to continue an act of worship with offering. Offering is giving to God what He has so generously and faithfully given us. So I'm going to ask you to also be generous and be faithful, not only in supporting the church, but also supporting the organizations that we have mentioned to you in the past sermon series. And you can do this in two ways. You can do this by mailing us a check if you prefer that way. You can find the address on the screen right now. And you can also do that with your credit card through PayPal. And if you take your phone, scan the QR code with your phone app, your camera app, and it will bring you to our MyKUC.com. A page, and you can fill in your credit card information to do the offering there. In the beginning of service today, I mentioned to you we have a Connect card. If your first time here, if this is your first couple of times here, I want to invite you to take a look at the Connect card. Connect card is a platform for you to engage with us, for us to get to know you, and you can fill that Connect card in saying maybe you want a prayer, maybe you want to connect with the pastor, you just want to learn more about us, you want to join a small group. You can do that, and you can, again, use your phone app, QR code, scan it with your camera app, and it's going to bring you to a Connect card. And on the note of Oikos, right, we just talked about Oikos, you can do that with a Connect card. I want to invite you to consider joining Oikos. If you're not yet in a small group, not yet in an Oikos, I want to invite you to join. Oikos is a place, you know, there's a small group of community of people around like maybe 9 to 10 people per group. And what we do there is we share about faith, we share about life, you know, we go through some Bible scriptures, some materials to grow together in our journey, in our faith journey. And if you're not yet in an Oikos, I want to ask you to consider joining. For me, myself, I have been in Oikos, I think, since I was maybe 16 or 17 years old. And I've been so tremendously blessed. I know it's a time commitment, but I think the blessings and the things that I get out of it is way more than, you know, the 2 hours or 1 hour of time that we spend each week. And right now, I'm still in a small group, and I'm with a college small group, and we have such a fun time every single week, Saturday night, you know, sharing and playing games together. So I want to invite you to consider joining. Again, you can do that with the Connect card. You can go to Connect card and say, I want to join an Oikos, or you can go to mykuc.ca, go to the Connect page, and you can find the Oikos link over there. Let me now bless you with the word of God. Church, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of the crooked and twisted generation, among whom we shine as light in the world. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Church, we'll see you next week.